we'll get started. As you're starting to think about this topic, you can see at the top of the sheet, it says sharing the gospel. So here's going to be your first thing, okay? If someone asked you, what are the essential things that you need to share in sharing the gospel, what would you say, okay? So what are the essential things that you have to have in sharing the gospel? Okay, it's that first question on your sheet. Think about that for a minute, and then we'll get started. Think about what are the essential things. What's got to be there? What would you say? All right, everybody look up here. This is our last session in Christian Foundations. So we're going to be taking a break from gospel growth next week. So this is our last one. We've talked about everything from reading the Bible to praying. We've talked about fighting sin. We've talked about change. We've talked about even what it looks like to give to the Lord and steward the resources that He's given us. That was last week, right? This week, we want to finish with this topic of sharing the gospel. Okay, sharing the gospel. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the person next to you or hop somewhere where you can and share the things that you think are the essential elements of the gospel. I'm going to give you like 2 minutes to do it, okay? So talk back and forth amongst yourselves. What do you have to have if you are going to share the gospel, all right? That's what I gave you some time to work on. All right, now go. Go, share it. What's got to be there? What's got to be there? Let's talk about this a little bit, okay? I don't know if this is what happened when you just shared there, but if you question a group of self-professing Christians, okay, so we're not just talking about like going out there in the world and putting a microphone in people's faces in Liberty Park or someone at your school, one of your coworkers. We're not just talking about that. We're talking about like just self-professing Christians even, okay? If you question a group of self-professing Christians about the basics of the gospel, you will likely get a myriad of different answers, right? Okay, so you'll likely hear, well, this and this, and there'll be some common threads, but probably at some point, there might be like a little bit of a, well, you know, right? I mean, you know, like, you know, and then you just start saying things like, maybe this has happened to you sometime when you have had a chance to share the gospel or somebody's talked to you about what you believe. And all of a sudden your mouth starts moving and noise is coming out of it, but you're not really sure. Have you ever been in a situation like that before, right? Where all of a sudden what comes out is like really nice sounding generalities, right? You're just like, I mean, you know, like Jesus and, you know, and God and, you know. And then all of a sudden your mouth starts moving faster and you're like, I'm just so glad God has redeemed us to adoption as imputated converts. It's so good to be regenerated by the substitutionary atonement of our eternal begotten Son of God, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Right? Has anyone ever been there before? Anyone ever had that experience? Okay, yeah, something like that. Yeah. The question that I want to address today is that a problem? Or to put it another way, is it important to accurately define the gospel? Yes, it is. Okay, yes, it is. And so I think Paul actually tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that it's important to define the gospel. And so this is going to be kind of a jumping off point. So if everybody wants to turn there, and then I'm going to need a few others to turn to some other passages. But 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is talking to a group of Christians, already Christians. They already believe this stuff about Jesus. And he reminds them of the basics of the gospel. He says, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel. And then down in verse 3, he says it. I delivered to you as of first importance how, you know, Jesus, God, love, good things. Okay, that's not what he says. He says, I delivered to you what I've heard. That's of first importance. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day, and that he appeared to Cephas and then the 12. And in that right there, I think we see our motivation to know the gospel clearly and share it effectively. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at three things. You see your sheet? The big words. The big headlines on your sheet, we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about, first of all, understanding the gospel for ourselves. We're going to talk about knowing the facts of the gospel, remembering it. And then we're going to talk about some ideas for sharing it. Okay? So let's pray together and then we'll jump in. Lord, help us today. Help us to grow in clarity in sharing the gospel. I pray for these guys and girls, these men and women, that you would meet them wherever they're at in their understanding about who Jesus is and what he did for them, and that they would take a step. It's in his name I pray. Amen. All right, let's get started with this first point of understanding the gospel. Okay, so I need some help. I got two verses I need you to look up for me. So I need somebody to get 1 Timothy 6:20. Nathan's got that one. Who's got Acts 17:24? Brody's got that one, okay? You guys look at those. We'll get to the others in just a second. If you're open to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2, you can help us, okay? So we talk, first of all, about understanding the gospel. I want you to understand that the gospel is a specific message, okay? It is not this blob of facts about God and Jesus and love, okay? It's not amorphous. It's a specific message. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2, Paul rehearses the content of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Okay, that's your blank. The gospel. Write down the gospel in your blank there, okay? And the reason I say that is because of how important words are and how important definitions are. Okay, everybody look right up here. Words matter and definitions matter, okay? Now, the reason I know that is because the word football can mean very different things whether you are in the United States of America or whether you are in Europe, right? Okay, one of them, if you're in the U.S., you're talking about an oblong, brown, awkward-shaped thing, okay, that you throw with your hands and only sometimes kick with your feet, okay? But if you're in Europe, you're describing this just elegant sphere, right? It's oftentimes black and white that you do kick with your feet, okay? And you are not allowed to touch it with your hands, right? So that's what USA thinks about football and what Europe thinks about football. Now, I know that's completely inconsequential, okay, unless you might have an awkward conversation with someone that has a British accent, okay, and you're talking about football and they're talking about football, it just goes, psh, okay, but there are eternally consequential things at stake when you talk about words like gospel, okay, eternally consequential things, and we have to bring to bear biblical precision and specificity. Why do you think that is? You tell me, why are there massively consequential things at stake in how we define the word gospel? Why do you think that is? You tell me. Right. I mean, eternity's at stake, right? I mean, we could believe in the wrong things and it could have eternal consequences. Okay. You see, if we aren't careful, because we use this word so much, I mean, it's even in the name of our church, right? The word gospel. Because we use it so often, it becomes familiar to us. And if we aren't careful, that familiarity or even that lack of training can cause the essential truths about Jesus and his work to become like this junk drawer of Christianese, okay? Does anybody have a junk drawer in your house? How many of you have a junk drawer in your house, okay? All right, what is in the junk drawer? Everything, okay? Everything's in the junk drawer, all right? If you opened our junk drawer, it has like random charging cables in it, okay? There might be a tape measure, a balloon left over from my son's birthday party when he turned 4 and now he's 10, okay? Pens of various uses, some random pocket knives, and a lot of just stuff, okay? That's what's in a junk drawer. How much of that is really important and essential? We don't know, right? It's just everything all piled into one thing. And if we're not careful, the same thing can happen when we talk about gospel. We start throwing it around with familiar terms and it just becomes this like, oh, nice things about God, okay? But it's actually so much more. Your next blank, the content of this message is priceless treasure. And then somebody read 1 Timothy 6:20 for us. Who's got that one? Nathan, you have it? Okay, guard the good deposit. What does it say next? entrusted. That's your blank, okay? The content of this message is a priceless treasure entrusted to God's people to share with others with clarity and precision. And catch this, that word treasure is an important one. Have you ever seen the gospel message that has been handed to you as treasure? Treasure. Priceless treasure. I will tell you this, if you go to share the gospel with somebody else, that person that you're sharing with can tell whether it's priceless treasure to you or not. I mean, they can tell. Like, they can tell whether you're just like, I don't care. I just feel like I have to share this, so whatever. Or whether this is the most valuable thing that you have, what Jesus has done for you on the cross. So I do wonder if you could think of this question. If you were the only one who was going to pass off the gospel to somebody else, that good deposit that's been entrusted to you, if you were the only one that was going to pass it on, what would you give to another person? What would you give to them? What would that person get? Okay? Just think of it like one of your friends. You are the only one that can pass on this treasure of the gospel message to them. What are you going to hand them? Do you know that's the responsibility of every single Christian? Every single Christian's responsibility is to hand off the gospel message to someone else. That's what Jesus said when he talks about making disciples and teaching people to observe all that I've commanded. That's what the Bible talks about when it talks about how we are to share the message of Jesus with others. We're handing it off. So what's the other person going to get? Hopefully it's the specific message about Jesus, and we're going to remember that together in just a second, okay? Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is the gospel is an objective message as well. Now, what's the opposite of the word objective? You tell me. It sounds a lot like it. Okay, subjective, right? So objective has to do with facts, things that don't change. Subjective has to do with things that are up to your opinion or that do change. Like you can do something to change it, all right? The gospel is objective because it is good news. That's your blank. It's good news that brings joy. Good news that brings joy. Put that in your blank and then look right up here, okay? Now, the word gospel, I'll tell you this, it's not just a Bible-y word, all right? The word gospel actually showed up way before Jesus was born and there was the gospel about Jesus. Like, they would use the word gospel as a way to talk about news that had really big effects on the world. Like, history-shaping news, okay? Like, there was actually a document called The Gospel of Caesar Augustus. In other words, Caesar Augustus is here, and it has history-shaping effects on your life, okay? So when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's actually talking about a fact, something that has happened, you can see it on your sheet, that affects a person's life. And that thing that has happened isn't primarily about something you do, it's primarily about something God has done. That's your next blank, okay? Primarily about something God has done. Okay, so just for a second, imagine with me that I was going to share some news with you. Let's say you lived in a town where there was a king ruling over that town, okay? An invading army was coming against that town and news was being proclaimed throughout the land. Okay, there's two types of news that you can hear, right? One of those types of news would be like this. All right, everybody. Whatever you can find that looks like a weapon, go get it in your house, sharpen that weapon, close up your doors, and prepare for a fight. And if you fight hard enough, then maybe you'll survive. Okay? That's news. An army is coming to invade. Get ready. If you fight hard enough, you might survive. There's another type of news you can hear. And that's news from the king like this. There was an army that was coming. Our defenses held fast. Our army trounced their army, and you are saved. Okay? Do you see the difference between how the gospel is objective news of something that's happened that has amazing effects for you versus subjective news of something you have to do? The gospel is the one that says, this is what God has done. It's not something that you do. And can I tell you, this takes the pressure off, all right? Some of you, how many of you have ever felt nervous about sharing the gospel? Would you raise your hand? Yeah. Guess what? The gospel is not primarily about something you do. It's primarily about something God has done. We just tell people about it. We're just telling them the news. Do you know Jesus died for your sins? Do you know God loves you through what Jesus did for you on the cross? Do you know that if you believe in Him, you can be saved? All we have to do is share that news. It takes the pressure off. It also puts the attention on God. Because the gospel is a story that includes us, but it's not about us, okay? It includes you and me, but it's not about you and me. And we see that an example of that when Paul preaches to some really, really smart people, okay? So the Apostle Paul, he's at this place called Mars Hill. It's where all of the like intellectual elites, the smarty smarts of the day, they all got together and they would talk about their philosophies. One day, Paul shows up there, okay? Do you know how he starts his sermon to them? He does not look at them and go, oh, you guys are so smart. Look at you guys all gathered around here. I mean, let me just tell you about this God that God would be really happy if He could get you on His team. Let me tell you what, because really, you guys are awesome. That is not how Paul starts, okay? Somebody's got Acts 17. This is the story. Acts 17, verse 24. Somebody read it for me. How does Paul start this, Brody? Okay, those first two words, read them really loud. The God who made the world and everything in it. It was our call to worship this morning if you were here for first service, okay? So you're blank there. Acts 17, 24 starts with the God who made everything and what He has done. So when we remember the gospel, we remember this specific message that it's important to get right, and we understand this objective message that is just for us to share. We simply share what God has already done. It starts with God. So even as we go into this next point where we want to remember the gospel together, we want to keep that in mind. The gospel starts with God. Okay, I'm going to give you a tool. If you've ever wondered, like, how can I share the gospel? Here's the tool to share the gospel right here, okay? Four words you can remember that will help you remember the gospel message, all right? The first one is the gospel starts with God. God is the holy creator. His creation is to reflect His glory. Okay, I'm going to read the first verse, and then I need some help with the rest of them, okay? I need Isaiah 59, 2. Who can do that one? Somebody that hasn't got one? Seth's got that. Okay, Isaiah 59, 2. And then how about 1 Peter 3:18? 1 Peter 3:18? Ladies, one of you want to take that one? 1 Peter 3:18? They're having a meeting about discussing who's going to take it, and they're maybe discussing, like, do I have a Bible? We have one. Okay, 1 Peter 3:18. Right. Well, I've got it. Okay. 1 Peter 3:18, Mark 1:15. Who's got that one? Hamilo, you want that one? Mark 1:15, bro. You've got it. And then Luke 13:3. Who's got the last one? Okay, thank you. Luke 13:3. Okay. Okay, while they're turning there, God is the holy creator. His creation is to reflect His glory. Here's what I want you to fill in the blank. This is Isaiah 43:7. I created for my glory. The gospel starts with God. He creates for Himself. All of creation is meant to reflect His glory and glorify His name. That's what it was all made for. It is of Him and through Him and to Him that are all things. That's what God made every single person for. To do what He created them to do, to glorify Him. But sadly, that's not what happened in the story of the Bible. Because the story goes on with our next word that you can remember, and that is man. Man is thoroughly sinful. He deserves God's wrath and can do nothing to merit God's favor. Listen to how Isaiah 59:2 says it. Who's got that one?
But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear.
Okay, the word for your blank is your iniquities have made a separation between you and God. Okay? So God made us to reflect His glory in relationship with Him, but we went our own way. That's called sin, and that created a separation between us and God. There's a gap between us and God, and because God is holy and we are not, there's nothing we can do to span that gap. It's too big. The Bible talks it this way. The wages of sin is death. That gap right there is too far for us to span. But the gospel doesn't stop there. It tells us good news. And the good news is about Jesus. Jesus, who is God, man, who died in our place as our Savior and rose again. Who's got 1 Peter 3:18? That's you, Lorelai, right? Okay, you're blank there. Jesus died, the righteous one for the unrighteous one. Write that down. Okay? Jesus died in our place as our Savior. That's good news. God died in our place as our Savior to bring us to God. That's amazing news. And we know that's enough. The passage even says it. He was put to death in the flesh, he was made alive in the spirit. We know that what Jesus did was enough to span that gap because after Jesus died, he didn't stay dead. God the Father rose him again. God the Father resurrected him, okay? Brought him back to life, okay? Don't think that was exactly the right words, but we'll fix it, okay? God brought him back to life because he was honoring the fact that Jesus' perfect life and perfect death was enough to pay for sin. Oh, my friends, that's good news, isn't it? But that's not all. That's not all the gospel message, okay? We've got three words so far: God, man, Christ. But you know what? Sometimes people stop there when they share the gospel. They talk about how God's holy, and then they talk about how we're sinful, and then we talk about how Jesus died on the cross, and we're just like, we just leave it there. Jesus died on the cross for our sins as our Savior. And if we stop there, I want you to think about this really hard, okay? If we stop right there, Jesus died in our place as our Savior, who is saved? Who goes to heaven? Everybody, right? I mean, if we just stop there and we say, that's it, Jesus died in our place as our Savior, that means he died in your place as your Savior, and everybody goes to heaven. Okay, that's a heresy, by the way. That's a heresy. You know what the heresy is called? I'll give you a hint. Starts with the word, the letter U. Ends with universalism, okay? Universalism, okay? Universalism, which basically means Jesus died, so everybody's going to heaven. Woohoo! Okay? Oh, my friends, catch this. This is the last thing. This is the fourth word. If you don't have this, then you miss the gospel, and that is this. Man must respond to Jesus' work in faith and repentance. So Mark 1:13, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the, who's got it? Amilo, what's the next word? Jesus came into... Oh, yes, he proclaimed the gospel of God. Good job. Write that down. Jesus came proclaiming the gospel. And what was the gospel? His gospel was repent and believe. Then Luke 13, Jesus says it this way. Who's got that one? Luke 13:3.
No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.
Unless you repent, you will perish. The gospel is God, man, Christ, response. And I would encourage all of you right here, I would encourage all of you to think about this aspect of the gospel. You are invited to respond and you're commanded to respond. And when you share the gospel, share a message that needs to be responded to. Like your friends can't be like, oh, cool message, neat, I'm thankful you said that. Okay? They actually need to know that if they don't believe this message, they will perish. Those four words there can help you think about how to share the gospel. God, man, Christ, response. It can also help you think about whether you've truly responded to the gospel or not. Maybe you've just thought, oh, the gospel is just God is love. And I thought, oh yeah, God's love, that's great. Have you given your life to him? Okay. Now there's two more things on your sheet. I'll just mention them in passing and then we'll go on to these last parts of sharing the gospel with the time we have remaining. That message right there, it stands alone and it needs nothing added to it. Okay, it needs nothing added to it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, that message right there is how we are saved. Believe in that message about Jesus. And though the world may not understand it, the gospel message has done incredible work in all who've truly believed it. Like, if you've truly believed the gospel, it's done incredible work in you. It is an infinitely better message than what the world has to offer. And I love this Pascal quote, okay? He says, make the gospel attractive, like with your life, make good men wish it were true, and then show them that it is true. That's how we should be living our lives, okay? So here's what we've talked about so far. Understand the gospel, remember the gospel. Now, five ideas for how to share the gospel, okay? So anytime we talk about the gospel, we have to remember to define our terms. Look right up here, guys, right up here. You have to remember to define your terms, okay? Now that we've defined our terms, we're going to talk about what it means to share those terms with someone else. Okay, so here's some ideas, all right? And I hope wherever you're at in life, you can find some way to think about sharing the gospel with someone that God has put you near, okay? So the first way is this. In Acts 22, 1 through 21, and 26, 12 through 23, Paul shares something with other people. Okay, what do you think that blank is right there? Yeah. Ideas, okay, what else? Story. Paul shares his story of how God saved him. Okay, in those passages right there, Paul is basically saying this. I was on the road to Damascus on a horse, and God met me there. And he said, I need to give my life to him, and I did, and it changed everything. You have a story like that, okay, and you could share it. You know, I've always heard about God and I've always heard about Jesus. If you grew up in church, that might be part of your story. But one day God opened my heart to see how much I needed Jesus. And when I believed in him, it changed everything. So that little italic part right there, how have you been moved by the difference the gospel has made in your life recently? People can tell if we're merely reciting a set of beliefs or if we've fallen in love with the one we're proclaiming. Okay? Share your story. Share your story. That would be the first one. Okay, the second one, okay? Jesus meets a woman at the well in John chapter 4, okay? And he has a gospel conversation by doing something. What do you think Jesus does? What's the main part of John 4? Yeah. Asking thoughtful questions. There's your blank, okay? So, some of you are like, I don't know if I could really share the gospel. Well, have you ever asked a question before? Okay? This can open up an incredible conversation about Jesus. Questions like this. What do you do when life feels really hard? Do you ever think about God? Do you ever pray or talk to God? What do you think happens after we die? What do? When you feel like you aren't good enough? Here's how I know I feel. I wonder, who could you ask a question to? Now, you've got your own set of answers to those things, ready? So that you're ready to talk too. You're ready to talk about how those questions get answered in your life. But then you want to see what they answer and how they answer it and how that reveals their need for Jesus. Thoughtful questions, okay? I hope maybe you're thinking of ways that you might be able to do this in the days to come. The third one, in John 1, 40 to 46, there's two of Jesus' disciples that we meet. One of them's name is Andrew and one of them's name is Philip, okay? They both do something, okay? Andrew talks to Peter and Philip talks to Nathanael. I wonder, what do you think they do? What do you think? What would be the blank there? What's your idea for number three, where the eyeball is? Grace has already answered one, so I'm going to give a chance for the back row. Anybody in the back row? What would you fill in that blank for? Something to come and see Jesus. They invite someone. Yeah, they invite someone. Okay, so your blank there is invite. Andrew and Philip both invite someone to come and see Jesus. Come see a man that told me everything I ever did, okay? Andrew says to Peter, we've found the Messiah. You've got to come see him. Okay, what do you think would be a way that you could do this? How could you invite someone to come and see Jesus in your life? Now, visibly, you won't be able to see him. Yeah, what do you think, Andrew? Boom, right there. Bring them to church. Guess what? Here at Gospel Grace, you do not have to wonder if they're going to hear about Jesus. Okay? You do not have to wonder. Guess what we talk about every single week? Jesus. Front and center, loud and clear. You just bring them to church and they sit next to you. And then after it, maybe you could ask a question like this. What do you think about that? Have you ever heard somebody talk about Jesus like that before? I really liked it when he talked about this. What did you think? Okay? There's some questions that you could ask to somebody after they come with you to church or youth group or community group. Okay? Okay, the fourth one. Romans 1:16 says we should not be ashamed of the gospel message. Ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. And so, God-man Christ's response, there's four ways you could share it. One verse evangelism is basically how you, if you want to Google this, you can Google one verse of gospel, and it'll tell you how to walk through Romans 6:23 using one verse to tell the story of Jesus. Okay? If you want to Google G-O-S-P-E-L, there's this guy by the name of Propaganda, and he does a spoken word piece. If you're into like rap, if you're into spoken word stuff, Propaganda's got G-O-S-P-E-L, okay? God, our sins paying, everyone gets life, okay? That's how gospel works on that one, all right? You could send that, but we're not ashamed of the gospel message. And then because this is a work of God, we pray. So here's your blanks. Acts 16:14 says that God opened Lydia's heart to believe. God works through our sharing of the gospel message, so we pray. We also live, that's right, grace, yes. But we pray. How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And then Paul says, pray for us that God may open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ that I might make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Everyone look right up here. If you've never taken a step in sharing the gospel, it starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. And then maybe the next step might be inviting someone to church. Maybe it might be sharing your story of what God's done for you. Maybe it might be asking a question. But in all of it, let us not be ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I hope to you. And then as you believe, we share it with other people. Okay? Let's pray together. Thanks for listening, everybody. Lord, help us to be bold in sharing the gospel. Help us not to be afraid. And Lord, use us as we go from here with this amazing, priceless treasure. May we pass it on pure and uncorrupted to the next generation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.